Hi, it's Michael Senoff with MichaelSenoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called The Key to a Successful First Interview, No Matter How Nervous You Are. It's completely normal to get nervous before your first interview. Everyone does. In fact, in this audio, you'll hear new marketing student Doug Potts overcoming just that. Even though he feels nervous, uncomfortable, and tense, he does a great job on his first interview. Remember, audio interviews aren't about you. Your listener wants to hear the expert and the content. So even when you're feeling extremely nervous, all you really have to do is ask your question and shut up. And in this quick 30-minute audio, you'll hear Doug grill me on the topics of creating audio interviews. You'll notice that even though he's very focused on his script, the interview doesn't sound bad or choppy, and he'll easily be able to edit it further to make it even flow better. So, here's some of the information Doug gets out of me in this interview. How I determine what experts to select for interviews and the best way to contact them. You'll learn how to get the best affiliate deals for interviews. You'll learn how to use experts' websites as a guide for finding easy interview questions and other simple ways I conduct research. You'll learn all about the pre-interview talk, exactly what I say to experts before I hit the record button. You'll learn how I handle technical problems and examples of some things you can fix in the editing phase. And you'll learn the number one thing you must do to guarantee a successful interview. The first interview is always the hardest, but as you see from this bulleted list, Doug did a really good job at prying out useful information in a short period of time, and that's all the listener cares about. So even though he admits that he probably should have expanded on some of my responses a little bit more during the interview, he doesn't need to worry. All that comes with time. Trust me, the more you conduct interviews, the easier and more natural it all comes. And after you listen to this audio, you'll realize that it doesn't matter how nervous you are, you're going to do just fine. I hope you enjoy the interview. Now let's get going.
This is Douglas Potts. Today you have the privilege to listen in as I interview marketing expert Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com, as he shares powerful tips to planning and conducting audio marketing interviews that you can use to increase your visibility and credibility with your target market and instantly create valuable audio information products that you can sell to your prospects. So sit back, get comfortable, and get ready to listen to an information-packed interview with Michael Senoff. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for the wonderful introduction. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be here with you.
Thank you for joining us today and sharing your expertise on developing and conducting audio interviews. Michael, today I'm going to ask you to reveal some behind-the-scenes techniques and tips that an audio interview marketer can use to launch their interview skills light years ahead of the pack. I'm not going to let you off easy either, and I'm going to dig deep into your years of experience as a successful audio marketer, having interviewed many high-profile experts such as Tom Hopkins, Ted Nicholas, John Carlton, and J. Conrad Levinson, to name a few. I'm going to ask you to reveal powerful insights about planning, preparation, and conducting audio interviews. I'm going to ask you specifically to address how to select and conduct interview participants, how to negotiate interview terms and rights, how to plan a topic, how to research and develop questions, and how to manage and control an interview. Okay, we have a lot of ground to cover and a very short time to get through everything, so let's get started.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Okay. The first area I'd like to ask you about is planning an audio interview. Michael, how do you go about finding and selecting an expert to interview?
You got to ask yourself, why are you interviewing this expert? And there's a lot of different reasons. For instance, on my website, hardtofindseminars.com, I'll interview experts for different reasons. One reason is called marquee value. So if you can get a really big name, like a celebrity, it doesn't have to be a Hollywood celebrity. It could be a celebrity in your type of business, your niche, or a very high-profile multimillionaire or billionaire. Being able to say that I've interviewed this expert in this field instantly and magically increases your credibility, and it's all by association. So if you say you're interviewing the founder of GoDaddy, that's pretty valuable. There's a lot of people who would like to know how that guy started in his one bedroom and ended up building one of the largest web hosting services on the planet and making hundreds of millions of dollars all along the way. That guy knows some pretty good stuff. He's gone on a journey that a lot of people maybe in that field would like to know and can learn from. So having that interview is great. It's a feather in your cap. It's a big name interview, and you should be proud to have that. And that will instantly help you get traffic to your site, build your credibility, and very importantly, help you land other big name interviews who are on the same level as him. Now, that's one way. Another reason you may want to interview someone is if you're doing some selling. So on hardtofindseminars.com, I have a lot of interviews where I'm interviewing an expert in a specific topic or field, and they have something to sell. Now, the interview is designed to give a lot of great value, but it won't give everything. And at the end of the interview, it may say, for more information, go to this website. And going to this website is a URL that I have registered and I control, which will forward the listener to an affiliate link that I have set up, that if that listener liked what they heard in the original interview and they go to that URL that I control, and they're automatically forwarded to an affiliate link. An affiliate link simply sets me up as a salesman for that expert that I interviewed. And if they buy from that website, that affiliate link, I will make a commission, either offered by the seller or maybe negotiated by myself. So that's a monetary interview. That's a promotional interview designed to sell a listener on buying something. In the manner that I do it, it's usually by going to a website, and then their website does all the selling. I'm just basically endorsing and referring an expert to their own product. So that's an interview that's designed to make me money. And then there may be another interview where it just may be a great interview, a big name, so I get some advantages by having a big name, marquee value and credibility for my collection of audio interviews. But it may not refer the listener to anything. So it may be J. Conrad Levinson, for instance, a very well-known marketing expert, and I interviewed him, and just having his name was enough. So being able to say I interviewed J. Conrad Levinson was the main goal. So Hard to Find Seminars has an interview with J. Conrad Levinson. I'm not making anything if I refer someone to his site. And some of your interviews may be like that, where you don't make any money off of it, but you get to use that name to boost your credibility. So those are a few of the reasons, and there's more too. But that should be the main focus on your interviews.
Having identified the expert that you'd like to interview, how do you go about contacting them?
It's real simple. You know, you could find their website. You can email them directly with an invitation to be interviewed. They may have a PR person or a marketing department that you can interview, and if it's something that the marketing department is interested in, they will forward it to their secretary or their personal assistant. And if it's something that makes sense for them, they'll get back with you. That's one way, by using email. You could go to their website and find their mailing address, and simply your invitation that you would send in an email, you can print it out in Microsoft Word and mail them a letter. That's another way. And it's probably not a bad idea if you're going after high-profile interviews that would mean a lot to you by doing both, an email followed up by a letter. If you really want to create some great impact and you really want to land this guy, spend $6 to $10 on a Federal Express overnight letter with an invitation professionally typed out on maybe a letterhead explaining who you are and that you'd like to interview them for your website or for your product launch or for your new book or for whatever reason. Another way is you can pick up the phone and call. All the methods above work.
What is your preferred way to structure and negotiate an interview with an expert? Once you've made the contact, how do you want to introduce the structure of the topic matter and also the format?
As the interviewer, I want to make it as easy as possible on me. So I'm going to look at what this expert is doing. And you got to keep in mind, your expert will say yes to an interview if there's something in it for him. And I always use this example. When Tom Cruise goes on Oprah, he's not going on there to be nice. He's going to promote his new movie or his book. And the same thing with people who go on talk shows and such. There's a reason they're going on these shows. They're promoting something. So your expert, you got to find out, what is he selling? What is he promoting? When I make an initial contact with an expert, I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, what are you selling? What do you want to promote? Because it's an unspoken rule. If they're going to grant you an interview, you're going to plug something of theirs. You're going to plug their new product, their seminar, their movie, their book, what have you. So structure your agreement based on what they're selling. And if they're selling something, and if they have an affiliate program, structure it in your favor. Make sure that you get signed up as an affiliate. Say, hey, I want to sell your products. And that's been a secret that I've been able to land some very high-profile interviews by going to these experts saying, hey, I've got a list of hungry customers who come to my site who want to learn a lot, and I'd like to interview you, but at the same time, I'd like to promote all your products as an affiliate. And I did that with Ted Nicholas, and I did that with John Carlton, and I am an affiliate of theirs, and I continue to generate sales for them and affiliate commissions for myself. And so it's understood. So structure it where it's going to benefit you, benefit them, and benefit the listener all at the same time. Every interview will be different because the reasons that I just gave you why you're doing the interviews. So just make it make sense. It is a win-win for all involved.
How often do right become an issue while hammering out the details of a recorded interview?
You know what? I always thought it was going to be an issue. It has never become an issue with me, not in all the years. I've never had a problem. You know, when Tom Cruise goes on Oprah, he's not worried about rights. When he grants an interview, it's understood that Oprah has the rights to that show. So when someone agrees to an interview, there's an unspoken reason why they're going on the interview. It's free publicity for them, for their book, for their promotion. Why would they want to hold back their rights for the interviewer to publish or broadcast the interview? So there is a reason why the interviewee is doing the interview, and it's understood that the interviewer is going to use that interview to do what he wants with. Now, if it's a concern, you can spell out your rights at the beginning of the interview when you're setting it up. You can say, you know, Doug, you understand we're going to record this interview, and I'm going to use this on my website, hardtofindseminars.com. I'm going to use it to train some of my students, and I sometimes package different products. This interview may end up as a packaged product with some of my other interviews on the expertise and secrets of audio interviews. Is that okay with you? And they'll say, sure, no problem. So you've got that as a recording, and you've got a contract, an oral verbal contract, but it's mostly a fear. And if it becomes an issue and the interviewee has questions, hammer it out. Make it work and just be upfront about what you're going to do with it and what you want to do with it. But it's never been an issue. And I've never had an interviewee say, hey, you can't sell my interview and I want half the money and stuff like that. You could pre-negotiate it, but determine why are you doing the interview, and you should be able to hammer out a deal.
With the intention of building an information product, do you ever plan multiple sessions with an expert to create a series of topic-specific interviews?
Sure, you can. A lot of my interviews are two-part interviews, super long ones. Sometimes they'll go 60 minutes, and we may run out of time and say, oh, Doug, we're out of time. Let's go ahead and do a part two, and you'll reschedule it for another day. So if you've got a great interview, you want to get as much great information as possible. You may not have enough time, and then you can reschedule. In almost all cases, all my interviewees that went over time were willing to reschedule and to do another part two to finish it out. Not a problem.
Well, Michael, that covers everything with planning an audio interview. Let's move on to preparing for an interview. How do you prepare for an interview that you are planning to conduct?
You know, it's really a lot easier than you think, depending on who you're interviewing, and like I said, depending on what they're doing. What are they promoting? What are they selling? You're going to see that they've already prepared all the questions for you. So, for instance, if it's me selling my audio interview service, you can go to my website, hardtofindseminars.com, and you can find a sales letter on my audio marketing service. And then you can look at all the bullets on my sales letter and see all the promises and benefits that I offer for the service, and you can turn those benefits into interview questions. If someone's written a sales letter, you can have all your questions already written for you. Now, if you're interviewing an expert on how to fly kites and they don't have anything on their website or there's limited information that they have, you can go to Amazon.com and type in how to fly kites in Amazon and look for books. You'll find books on how to fly kites. And then on Amazon, you can look at the table of contents, the index, online, and you can see all the subjects and topics about the information in the book on how to fly kites. And you can use that as an outline. And so using that outline gives you a good structure for questions to ask. You can look at the index in the very back on all the topics. You can look for articles in Kite Flying Magazine that cover the 10 best tips for flying kites, and you'll have an outline for all your questions. It should not be any work at all for you to come up with questions. All the questions have been asked before by someone else, whether it's a newspaper article, magazine article, a website, what have you. Your job is to compile the best questions or the ones that you think compile a great list of questions that you've seen asked before and just ask your guests. They're not the only one in the world answering these questions. It's all been done before.
Do you normally share your questions with the expert you're going to interview before the actual interview?
If they ask me to, I will. I'll prepare and send it to them. But most of the time, I don't. Because if they're a real expert on the subject, they're going to know their answers. Their answers are already internalized. You did submit me some questions. I looked over them briefly. But I didn't sit and study them and prepare all my answers. I mean, I've got this stuff in my head. I understand it. I know it. And you'll find that your experts that you're interviewing have this stuff. They don't have to think it up or have an outline. They understand it internally, and they're able to talk about their expertise. So I don't think you're going to have to do that.
How many questions make for a good interview length?
There's no set amount. If you've got a certain amount of time, you want to get as many answered as possible. You know, you want to be asking questions that you think your listeners would want to know, or if you're really seriously interested in the subject you're talking about, you want to get all your questions answered. If you're interviewing a high-profile guy, you want to rifle off as many questions that you have on your mind or that your listeners have on their mind and use that time wisely.
Can you tell us a little about different interview formats, for example, chronological, Q&A?
Yeah, some of the interviews I've done, if I'm interviewing an expert, you can use a chronological format where you say, you know, so tell me, how did it all get started? You know, where were you born? What were your parents like? And you have them take you through their life. If you want to begin it at their career and you're interviewing about their career and their business expertise, you can start from there. If you want to get into some of the history of their upbringing and influences, you can start back at childhood. And you just say, and then what happened? And then they're thinking chronologically. And then they come up with all the things that kind of brought them up to where they are. You just got to be a real good listener, and you got to say, okay, and then what happened? And then how did that affect you? And what was important about that? And then what did you do after that? And many times they're recounting stuff that they haven't thought about in so long. And if you do it chronologically and you make them think back, they'll come up with some real good ideas, some business lessons, some failures, some successes, and some setbacks. And that's a chronological life story. And it makes for a good interview in many cases. Question and answer, if you have an email list or you have a way to contact customers, maybe previous customers who are interested in more information on a topic, you could do what's called an ask campaign. So, Doug, let's say you had a list of 1,000 people. You can say, hey, I'll be interviewing interview expert Michael Sinoff on this Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and I'll be asking him your questions. If you want to submit any of your questions to me that I'll ask on your behalf for Michael, send them to me by email, or you can send them to a website where they can fill out a form. And then you collect all your questions, you eliminate all the doubles, you eliminate the bad and stupid questions, and then you just have them on a list and you just rifle them off, just like you're doing right now. That's really important because you're asking the questions that your list really wants to know. So you're giving your list exactly what they want to know. And in many cases, this is one of the most powerful interviews because you're not guessing what your listener wants to know. You are delivering exactly what they say they want to know, and that's very important.
Which interview format do you prefer, or do you find that you do a mix?
I do a mix, but I really prefer that ask campaign because you don't have to do any work. You just set up the ask campaign, you announce an interview, you say send in your most pressing question about this subject or this topic, and then they come in, you organize them, and you're set. And like I said, you never have to guess whether you're delivering an interview that your listeners are going to be interested in. They have raised their hand, and they have shown you what the most important questions are because you can tabulate the questions coming from your list, and you'll see multiple people asking the same questions, and that'll determine what is most on your list's mind. And you'll put those at the top. You'll make sure that the people who are asking the most commonly asked questions, that you cover those. And that also makes for very valuable marketing collateral and information if you're selling a product. Because in your bullets and in your sales letter, you're going to focus on that your product is going to answer these questions that your list wants to know. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Let's talk about conducting the interview. What is the best time of day to conduct an interview? Do you find this is some time that's better than any other time, or making sure that everybody's alert?
Sometimes the morning is nice, you know, when you schedule the interview. It depends what you have going and what you like. I like knocking it out in the morning, but if I have something to do in the morning, I'll schedule it where it's more relaxed in the afternoon. There's no best time. The best time is what works best for both parties. If you're getting a high-profile interview, you know, you can say, well, I can do it at this time and this time. What's best for you? It's up to you. Whatever best time works for each party is the best time.
What type of pre-interview talk do you have with the expert before you start the interview? started today, we had a little bit of a side discussion prior to rolling tape.
I'd say, okay, Doug, let's say your high-profile interview. I'll say, Doug, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to record the call. I'm going to be publishing this interview. You don't have to worry about messing up. I'm going to be recording everything. I'll do all the editing. You can preview it if you want to make sure everything's good. If you say something, you want me to take it out, that's not a problem. It's just you and I talking. I just want you to relax, and I've got a lot of great questions, which you're going to answer, and it'll be a lot of fun. And I may want to use this interview down the road for promotional purposes. I may package it with a product, but it's all going to help promote you and your product and your service and get your name out there to my list. Is that okay? And then you say, let's get going. And you start off with, here's question number one. So you keep it short. You don't have to do chit-chat. If you feel like it, you can, but both parties understand it's a business arrangement. It's free publicity for the interviewee, and it's promotional collateral for the interviewer.
How do you handle an interviewee who is not talkative? Give them short answers.
I would just keep asking questions. You can ask open-ended questions. You know, if they say, I did this, and you can say, tell me more. Why was that important to you? How did that affect this? You got to move them along. You know, you may get a dud interview like that, but it's your job to pull out the answers. And if they're just being stubborn or they're not giving their information, it just may end up being one of your bad interviews. It happens sometimes, or they may not be that willing to actually do the interview, but rarely does it happen. Most people love talking about themselves. They really do. And if you give them a chance to talk, they won't shut up. They'll tell you everything you want to know. Be a good listener. Just listen, listen, listen.
How do you handle technical problems that may arise during an interview?
Make sure that they're on a landline phone. You're on a landline, Doug?
Yep.
I'm on a landline. That's very important. Voice over IP, I would hold off on that. Just go good old regular landline phone. Make sure you have a backup way to record the interview. I'm recording on a digital recorder. You're recording on your end, so we have two recordings. Sometimes it happens if someone's in an office and they have a main central line and they have to be patched through to another line. That can cause interference. Make sure you got a direct line. And if they have to go to a different place for a direct line, do it, especially if it's a big-name interview. You know, when you're on the phone with them, you can hear if they're coming in soft. You can ask them to speak up. If you can't get a good quality sound, you may want to reschedule it. Or I've had people go to a different phone in the house or a different phone in the office. If you have a bad connection, you can say, hey, Doug, hang up and just call me right back. And when you call back, you're on a different line. You can solve the problem that way. And if there's just no way to solve it, you're going to have to solve it through editing. And in the editing process, you can increase the volume on the other side and lower and do some filters and stuff like that.
What type of follow-up do you conduct with the expert after the interview is completed and edited?
After it's been completed and edited, I'll say, Doug, hey, the interview's done. Here, you can take a look at it. If you promise to let him review it, you can say, here's where you can review it. Or if it's finished and published and up there, you can say, here you go, and you're welcome to send anyone you know to the interview. Feel free, and thanks again for doing it. I hope you like it.
Well, Michael, we're getting short on time, and I'm going to have to wrap it up. One final question, though. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What is the number one thing that you must do to guarantee a successful interview?
The number one thing for a successful interview, I would say, is to make sure that you're listening and that you're asking questions that your target market wants to hear the answers to. And just be a good listener. That's the most important thing, because the interview, that's your product. You have to deliver a good professional interview. And I'll say, Doug, you did a great job. I mean, you didn't interrupt. You didn't add any personal stories about yourself or your opinions, which is really great. And that's hard not to do sometimes. I used to talk way too much in my interviews. You just ask the questions and shut up, and you did a great job. That's exactly what you need to do, because understand that you're the interviewer. I'm the interviewee. The interview isn't about you. When I'm doing all my interviews, it's not about me. They're not listening to me. They're listening to the expert. They want to hear the expert. Just keep your questions nice and short and succinct, just like you did. And if your expertise has true expertise, they'll give you the answers that you need from your questions. And I think you did a great job. So listening and not talking too much in the interview is a great place to start.
Well, Michael, I'd like to thank you for taking your time and sharing audio interview secrets with us. You revealed some great information that can be immediately put into plan in creating outstanding audio interviews. Again, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Doug.
Mike, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so Doug, that was a great interview. I mean, you could put that out with barely any editing. Just cut the beginning off and the end, and you've got your interview.
Yeah, I can help. extremely, actually uncomfortable. I mean, just really tense. I think it came through because I wasn't as natural as I could have been.
As you do it, you'll relax more. Every time you do it, it gets easier and easier. Look, there's no reason you should be tense because you're not dreaming anything up. Now, the beginning and the end, you had scripted, but you can do that not on the phone with your guests. You can do that when you're totally comfortable by yourself. And then your questions are in front of you. At worst case, all you got to do is just read the questions and shut up.
One of the things I found, you mentioned at the end, that listening is very important. And then also being able to expand on the responses. And I found that I was so focused on the script that I was unable to...
That's all right, but you got the meat of it. But as you get more relaxed, and you knew you were limited on time, so we had to kind of rush it. But you will be able to expand as you get more comfortable, and you'll be more comfortable, and you'll be listening more. But yeah, I think you did a great job. You know, you really did. That was fine.
Thank you. I look forward to getting more comfortable and a little bit more seasoned at this. I'm going to actually try it out with colleagues of mine. So I have 3, 4, or 5 of these under my belt prior to working with Bob Parsons.
I think that's good. A tip you may want to do, you know, a lot of the interviews I do, I make it where I'm not really interviewing to a bunch of people. I make it like just 2 people talking. And that way it's just like someone's listening in on a conversation, and that draws them in a little bit more, rather than them knowing that you're broadcasting an interview to everybody, you know?
Right. Put it as a person-to-person voice and make it a little more intimate. It allows for the audio for the folks that will listen, as if they're listening on a special personal conversation.
That's right. But overall, I give you an A, really.
Thanks, Mike.
After you do that interview, let me know. I'd love to hear it.
I'll boil it down and then send you the file.
Okay, and re-listen to this, because I gave you some good tips that you can use.
Oh, you did. Dynamite. That's what I was looking for.
Okay. That's the end of this recording where Doug grills me on topics of creating audio interviews. I hope this has been a good example of how easy it is, even you can interview someone and come up with a good audio information product. If you'd like all my secrets and tips on how to make money with audio interviews, go to a free 6-part teleseminar at www.askmichaelsenoff/replay. That's www.askmichaelsenoff/replay. And there you'll hear a 6-part teleseminar series on how to make money with audio interviews. Thanks for listening.